all we did in my projection, the way I underwrote it, is simply taking the 50% that hasn't been renovated and putting them up to that 14, not even trying to exceed what he's accomplished. It's still a pretty conservative estimate, but so far it's from 1,000 to 1,400.
Welcome to Multifamily Deal Lab, where your host, Dave Lindahl, dissects recent multifamily deals done by his guests. Dave will extract what went right, what went wrong, and a number of key takeaways so your next deal may be more profitable.
All right, welcome everybody to another edition of Multifamily Deal Lab. I'm with Manuel. First of all, Manuel, tell everybody who you are and where you're from.
Hi guys, I'm from France and I live most of the time now in LA. I've been through the RE Mentor program in 2020 and I'm today closing my third deal.
Great. And so what brought you to LA from France?
Screenwriting, the film industry.
Have you written anything of note?
I came up being Woody Allen's assistant director, and then he got canceled, and so now I'm transitioning to TV.
Oh, excellent. All right, so tell us about this deal. What did you get?
75 units, north of Atlanta. Really clean deal, built between 89 and 91, with high potential for value add. About half the property has already been renovated by the current owner, whom I have a personal relationship with, and so we're going to come in and renovate the other half.
How did you obtain this personal relationship with the other owner?
It was a meeting I was having in Atlanta with our tax expert, randomly, our real estate tax expert. And as we finish the meeting and leave, he's like, oh, let me introduce you to this guy who's another client of mine who owns a bunch of properties. That's how the introduction was made. And it went really well. Took his number right there and then. We kept in touch for, this was probably about a year ago. And just now, closed our first deal together. I had bid on other of his deals, but didn't end up working out. I got out of bid. But on this one, we're closing.
Wow, so that's good. So in this particular deal, this was 75 units. What was the purchase price?
9.225.
Was there a broker involved?
Yes.
Okay, so did he reach out to you? Did he reach out to the broker first, then reach out to you and say, hey, I just listed this, or?
It was actually the broker, knowing I had a relationship with the seller, was very early stages, but the broker did mention it to me. And there's a good relationship of trust. So he had no problem with me talking directly to the seller about it. And frankly, it was probably one of the easiest deals for this broker because he really didn't do much at all on this, which is great. I just mostly dealt with the seller direct.
Nice. And what was the offer price? I mean, what was the asking price?
He was closer to 9.5 and I was closer to 9 in my initial offer. And we landed on 9.225.
So you had said at the beginning that this deal, half of the units were renovated, half of them weren't. So what type of a value add do you have here?
So just really quick, the backstory here is he bought summer 2022. Rents were stupid low at like 600, 700 maybe. And he said all of the tenants were on month to month. And so when he bought, he came in, he said, starting next month, all of the rents are going to be at $1,000. About half the property left. That's the half he renovated. And half stayed at $1,000. On those half that he renovated, he started at 11. He got that really easily. Then he moved to 11, 12, 13, and eventually 14. The last handful of units that at least that were renovated got at 14. And so all we did in my projection, the way I underwrote it, is simply taking the 50% that hasn't been renovated and putting them up to that 14, not even trying to exceed what he's accomplished. So I think it's still a pretty conservative estimate, but so far it's from 1,000 to 1,400.
How much in improvements are you putting in per unit?
Per door on the renovated units, we're putting in about 8,000 a door for interiors.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
A pretty big bump for an $8,000 lift.
It is.
That's nice. So you live in LA, you're in France. How did you meet your contractors? How are you overseeing the project? And how long have you owned it?
Oh, we're closing today.
Oh, you're closing today?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty sweet. Did you already sign the documents?
The final settlement statement just got signed before we started on this. And now the ball's in the lender's camp to wire those funds before 5 p.m. So in terms of the contractor, we're relying on the management company. They're going to do the construction oversight.
So let's go to how you met the management company. Is it the existing or is it?
This owner is very hands-on and he doesn't really work with a management company. He just kind of like hires individual managers and contractors. And so because we're further and it's just more complicated and we like things to be a little bit more by the book, we went to an existing management company called APG based out of Atlanta. And I had met with them same about a year ago, just when I was prospecting for management company. And I thought they would be a good fit for this. So then with the rest of the team, we went out and met them and it went well. And so we brought them on board.
What's the projection in terms of, so 70 is like, what, 35 units that need to be renovated approximately. They're going to get that done in the first year. You have to wait for the tenants to move out. Yes,
exactly. That's the thing. So we're actually only starting renovations in about 6 months.
Is that when the first notice comes out?
Yeah, because they were all month to month, and then he signed them all for a 12-year lease.
Yeah.
So there's the people that left, and all your leases started like September 1st.
Yeah.
So only in September 1st that we can actually go ahead and do the renovations.
So does the entire complex turn over on September 1st?
Half of it, because then the other half he's been leasing since then.
Yeah.
The half that left on that day where he said, I'm raising rents, that's the half. And so we are now going to stagger the notices so that we can renovate little by little as fast as our construction crew can go every month.
Right. Yeah, that's a predicament. That's an unusual one. You see something like that when it's a student housing.
That's also why we didn't want to go with a bridge loan, because we didn't want to pay the CapEx dollars. We didn't want to pay interest on the CapEx dollars. So we went agency, we raised the funds for the CapEx, and we're just holding on to those funds until we're ready to renovate.
And what type of cash on cash do you have down for the first year going in?
I know the average, but for the first year, we're at 5.1.
5.1. So what did you offer your investors to get into the deal? 5.1 for the entire deal, or 5.1 on the limited partner side?
For the investors, okay. For the cost of, yeah.
So what did you offer them? What structure?
In terms of projected returns?
Yeah.
So projected returns were at 8.2 average cash on cash. I did a projection over 7 years. We're at 8.1 cash on cash, 22.7 AAR, 16.5 IRR, and 2.6 equity multiple over 7 years.
So did you give them a pref for the cash on cash?
No.
So then, which I totally agree with, I think that's the way to go, because it just takes the risk off. If everybody's going to be in the deal together, let's all take the risk together as well. That leads me to another question, just from my own experience. First year cash on cash return is 5.1, which is lower. I guess deal return, it will average out to 8. Did you have much pushback from the investors about the fact that the first year cash on cash was much lower?
No, I didn't. Oh, frankly, on my other deals, it's been, I think the second one was maybe a touch higher. The first one was lower. So I also, like, I have something like 12% vacancy underwritten, which, given that the first 6 months were going to be fully occupied, very conservative, because that means really 24% vacancy on the second part of the year. So I think we'll do better than this.
Yeah, sounds like it. Probably if you had lower the first time, lower than 5.1, and then higher the second time, but not by much, then you probably pretty much trained your investors that this is how we get into deals. I think back to my experience, and when we first really started doing a lot of deals quickly in the early 2000s, we were doing like 8, 9, 10% cash on cash return. And I remember like 5 or 6 deals in a row, we were doing a 10% cash on cash return. And we could even do more, but we were only showing a 10.
Year one?
Yeah, year one. And that trained our investors to look for that. So when we had the opportunity to go in on a pretty big lift on a value add, but the first year was a low cash on cash return, it was like crickets out there. We couldn't get anybody to put money in, because that wasn't what they were used to.
Yeah.
The other thing I learned for everybody that's listening is the fact that if you've got 9, 10, 11% cash on cash return, and you know you got that, you put in your offering that it's going to be a 7 or an 8, and then overperform for them instead of getting them used to those higher returns. Because that's what happened to us. Several deals in a row, higher returns. And then they're like, so then when we have, normal for us was 8 back then, 8% cash on cash return. And so then when we went back to the 8, all of a sudden there wasn't a lot of interest in that deal. It's like, why is there interest in this deal? So I talked to the investors, and they're like, oh, we're waiting for the next 10. Like, oh, shit, learn that lesson quick.
Did you do waterfalls when it was like that in your PP?
No, it was just straight out. Yep, straight out and split at the end, 50-50 split. All right, so let's talk about, how'd you raise the funds for this deal?
So we had a few capital raisers. So I'm working with Jim as the sponsor that I've worked with on all my gym deals, just Jim Stewart.
Great guy.
Hand in hand, we really amazing team. And then Rob, Roselle, and Claudia came into this deal also with 1031 money of theirs, as well as capital raising as well. So all of us kind of contributed here to the capital raise.
So in your own pool of people, have you developed a pool of people? I mean, have you got people from Hollywood looking to get into your deal all this time?
Couple from Hollywood, but more I'd say from Northern California, if anything, from the Bay. Me and my partner, Glee Studio, we're partners in home, raised about $1 million to the two of us.
Are you familiar with Ed Milet?
I'm not.
So Ed Milet is probably worth about $500 million. He's been in a couple of different businesses, and now he's got a podcast, Ed Milet podcast or whatever, but he's a really good motivational type of a guy, because he's pretty much been through it all. So I was watching his podcast this morning, actually, while I was working out, and he was actually interviewing a guy that's on the Beverly Hills Housewives.
Yeah.
Familiar with that show?
By name.
Okay. And so I'm not familiar with it, but the guy that was on there, I guess, was one of the husbands that owns a real estate business. And he was just talking about the fact that how that TV show, by the way, those that are watching or listening, that was a really good podcast. And In My Life's podcast, really good as well. But he was talking about how that, doing business in Beverly Hills and the real estate and people looking to invest in his deals and all that. So I don't know if that was true or not, or else, or he also realized he was on a pretty big platform where he could probably raise a bunch of money. Do you know what I mean? And just threw that out there. But anyways, Ed Milette will be our keynote speaker at Ultimate Partnering 2023 over in, yeah, which he has a house right up the street, right on the shore. So he raised the funds that way. What about, what were the hidden surprises of this deal?
Frankly, the paperwork related to a tick took me
by
surprise.
You did a tick?
Yeah, it's 1031. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, so that opens up a whole can of worms.
Yes.
So for those that aren't familiar, tick is a tenant in common. It's probably the most difficult deal structure to manage, basically because everybody has a say in what you're doing. How many investors do you have in the deal?
On the LP side?
Yeah.
30.
Wow. And they're all in the tick format?
No. There's two entities. There's the tick entity, and then there's the LLC that is the syndication.
Okay. So the 1031 came in as the tick.
Exactly.
Are they in as individuals? Is it just Rob and his wife?
Yes.
Okay. That makes it a lot easier. So what I was getting to is I've done three tenant in common. I'll never do another one again. What it is everybody has, first of all, yeah, the paperwork to get them done is arduous. But secondly, it's a majority rule on a lot of things. But when it comes to legal decisions, it has to be a 100% vote. Like a legal decision in refinancing, to refinance a property has to be 100% vote. Yes. So one tick went well. And the other two ticks, there was always one person that thought he knew more than everybody else. And even when he was wrong, right, he was so convincing that he was right. It was like, even I was second guessing myself. But then he was leading people down the path of making a wrong decision. And it was really, really difficult. And then there was another TIC member that wouldn't sign off on a refinance to go through. We had to go to court in order to get the refinance through. It was just crazy. So yeah, TICs are difficult. Do you want to talk about your experience with the paperwork?
Yeah, sure. Well, luckily here, we really all have the same vision here. Robin, Claudia, Jim, and myself in Glee. We're all kind of more like long-term holders, all want to do a refinance if it makes sense for the investors. You know, Rob came with this sentence very early on in the process, tough conversations, easy life, easy conversation, tough life. And so that's really something like we've had all of those discussions very much up front that formed the basis for us and progressing together into this deal. I'm confident that it'll go well here down the line. The paperwork, I mean, it's just, first of all, legal fees, all that stuff, it's like skyrocketing. And then the syndication paperwork, et cetera, it's just very long. And there's just a lot to review.
All right. So let's be on the kit, be on the tick. What was your acquisition fee for this deal?
5%.
5% at 9 million, that's like 450,000.
Yeah, 461.
That's pretty sweet. That makes it worth it. But that's just the beginning. I know there are some people out there, you always have to watch out who you're syndicating with, because there are some investors whose main goal is to get that acquisition fee. And then that's what they do. They have the acquisition fees and they're really poor operators. The two partners that you have certainly are not poor operators. They're excellent operators. Where do you project this property to be in terms of value in 3 years?
Dollar amount. Hopefully interest rates are kind of peaking.
Yeah.
So this will be coming down. With the renovations that we'll be doing, will be done between 12 and 18 months from now. I think this is a very, very promising area north of Atlanta. It's just been absolutely booming. It's kind of like the Gainesville MSA, where it's just crazy up there. I don't know. I mean, I could throw numbers, but if we're buying at 9.2 roughly right now, 3 years from now, I could see it being maybe in the 12, 13 range, I think is definitely realistic.
This property has going for it is the fact that it's got a big upside for half of those units. And also interest rates are going to be coming down eventually, which means cap rates are going to compress, which is good. All right, let me ask you a couple of questions. And number one, what was the best book you've recently read in terms of motivation, inspiration, or business?
There's one you recommended, actually, UP in Dallas, that was Super Brain.
What's your go-to inspirational movie?
I'm a big Christopher Nolan guy. I'm very excited about his film that's about to come out. It's Oppenheimer. Doesn't look like the happiest movie ever, but it seems like it's going to be pretty amazing.
Interesting. Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, this has been another edition of Multifamily Deal Lab. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.
This has been another edition of Multifamily Deal Lab. If watching on YouTube, please be sure to hit the like button, the subscribe button, so you don't miss the next session, and review the contact links on this page.